You know, in Genesis 1:28, the first thing God told Adam and Eve that you should be fruitful and multiply. And of course, this is the physical multiplication, but behind every physical, there's the spiritual reality. And how does the Lord wants to multiply? Only through this Adam and Eve, now we have how many? 7 billion people, right? Okay, so in a spiritual sense, we have the life of God. Praise the Lord, we were born of God. Amen. We have this life, and the Lord desires to fill this entire earth with his people,
amen,
right? With believers. How does he do it? He does it through us. So we, as believers, are channels to pass on this divine life from ourselves to others.
Amen.
And just want to impress us, you know, this matter of the preaching of the gospel. So I'll be very brief. This is the last special fellowship concerning the preaching of the gospel. I'll be very brief. Maybe we go through the outlines that we covered. Message one, it says, picking up the burden to preach the gospel. And in 2 Timothy 4:5, it says, do the work of the evangelist. So that means Timothy was not evangelist. Paul encouraged him, do the work of evangelist. And the second one, so how do we do the work of evangelists? First, we saw that we need to pray, right? Prayer is the foundation to lead man to Christ. So when we pray, not only in our individually, but also with our companions. So when we pray, what happens? We get filled with the Spirit.
Amen.
See, when we pray, we go. How do we go? In spirit.
Amen.
When we get filled in spirit, what happens? We speak the word of God with boldness.
Amen.
Because the Spirit empowers us, enables us to speak the word.
Amen.
So we pray,
amen,
we get filled in spirit, and we speak the word of God.
Amen.
And so what is the goal for us to save people? To bring them into the church life for the building up of the church.
Amen.
And for this, we need the saints. Praise the Lord. Okay, this is what we covered. So now we have sheet. You have the outline. It says, follow up for entering into a life of fruit bearing and multiplication. You know, we need to see the vision. It says the vision and burden of follow-up. You know, follow-up, we have this concept that, oh, I text this follow-up. We have 100 names. Yeah, I followed one by one. That's not what we are talking about. Follow, what is follow-up? Okay, A says follow-up is one life imparted into another. It is the imparting of our very life into someone else. And I would say this. It is intensely detailed and personal.
Amen.
And it takes a great deal of effort. This is heavy. Right? You know, I have 3 children. My wife, very detailed, very intense. Even as I watch her caring for my kids, I get so overwhelmed. Okay, did you floss? Did you floss? Did you floss? Did you brush your teeth? Did you brush your teeth? I said, why don't you gather them together, ask them the question? That's very detailed, and it's personal. And this is a matter of the heart. Is the matter of heart.
Amen.
And it's not a method. Okay, this is what you should do. This is what we should, how to follow up. But brothers and sisters, I just want to impress all of us. Who has the heart? None of us. You know, we've been receiving these wonderful messages of the man, right? The humanity of Jesus. Right. Only the humanity of Jesus can be such a person who can follow up in a detailed way.
Amen.
So I hope, don't dismiss this fellowship. Just say, Lord, I'm open.
Amen.
Don't say, I don't have a heart. In ourselves, we do not have heart. But praise the Lord, we are here because we love the Lord.
Amen.
When we eat the Lord, we would have a heart.
Amen.
Okay, how about I'll ask Phil. Come on. Go ahead.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to share something with y'all. My name is Phil. I'm a grad student at Cal State Northridge. I'm going to talk about an account of following up. I'll try to recount it as accurately as I can right now. This is about Ivan. He was here earlier this week, and we met him. You all remember him, right? I think, Hispanic brother. We met him about a year ago, ever since then, he was a freshman. He was coming into his freshman year. And ever since then, I feel like my contact with him has just been very normal, just kind of entering alongside. We're both students on campus, so we kind of do the same things. He goes to work out. I go to work out with him. He studies sometimes. You know, I would study with him, or even practical things. He needed a phone. It was hard to contact him, so we got him on a family plan. Him and some other brothers, we got a family plan, and now we can contact him. It's a lot easier now than it used to be. Sometimes he would need a ride to L.A., drive him down to L.A., met his parents, met his pastor. Just a lot of normal things, just coming in alongside of him. But then recently there was an urgent need. There was a need to fight for him. There was an intense situation. Felt like the enemy was fighting against him coming to this college training. And so that led, you know, that the saints were praying in the prayer meeting. Remember opening it up. There was coordination with the brothers. There was some intense prayer, one-on-one with other brothers, because it seemed like this brother needs to go. There was a feeling that this brother needs to go to the training. And so what happened? I can't get into all the details, but there was a lot of back and forth. There was a lot of, yes, I'm going to go, and then it's, oh, I can't go because of this, that, and the other thing. And so there was a lot of prayer, but eventually it all came down to the very last day, Sunday, right before this college training. I got back from the Sunday morning meeting. I was tired. It was the semi-annual I just finished, and I woke up. I got to the morning meeting, come back home. I just wanted to take a nap. I didn't even go out to eat. And then I get this text, I can't go. What do you do? What do you do with that text? I mean, if it was just me, I kind of actually, at certain times, I wanted to throw in the towel. It's like, you know, maybe the Lord doesn't want him to go. Maybe, I don't know. But fellowshipping with the other brothers, there was just the encouragement to keep trying, to keep pressing, to keep praying. And it's awesome to carry the burden with other brothers, especially with the follow-up. But there's this verse, 1 Timothy 2:8. It says, we were well pleased to impart to you, not only the gospel of God, but also our own souls, because you became beloved to us. So I feel like Ivan became beloved to us. We got a taste of that. Just being alongside him that whole year, it was just like, this man is beloved. We need to get him to the training. It's too important. So what do you do with that text? It turned out there was some car trouble, so I get on the phone with Jared. I don't know how to fix cars. I'm asking him what the problem is. His brother's his engine's not starting. He's just hearing a click, so he's telling me something. I'm looking up videos on YouTube how to fix a car. I don't know how to fix a car. But anyways, I'm ready to drive up there with some tools to go fix it, to go help him and his dad get the car started. Luckily, I didn't have to pseudo mechanic work, because he called me and told me, oh, his car is fine. But I still needed to go. I know that he needed a face-to-face. This is the day before the training. It was crucial that I got over to his house. So I still drove over there. I'm going from Orange County to deep in LA. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm calling Craig. Lord, let's pray. We got to pray. This is huge. Talk to another brother right before I go into his house. We have some more prayer. Then I go into his house. I'm in there. I brought a chicken, some tortilla chips, and some dip. I'm sitting there at the kitchen table, at the dining room table with his mom, his dad, his little sister. We're all eating my chicken. His mom brings out some tamales, and we're just there. And I'm talking to his parents in Spanish, trying to. I'm showing his mom some program on the computer, how to learn English. I'm just there. And then it comes up, you know, big moment. I have to throw something out there about the college training. What does he say? Bro, I don't think I'm going to go. Oh, Lord Jesus. Inwardly, even silently, I think I mouth the words, Lord Jesus. I don't know what to do right now. So I'm just there, and we're still carrying on conversation. Eventually, I just, some fellowship opened up, and I had just come off of the semi-annual. I enjoyed what the brother said, that we need to pray ourselves into the Spirit when we contact people. I feel like all that prayer, the infusion from the semi-annual, I was just ready to dispense to him something. I felt like I had been nourished with the words of the faith and that I could minister something to him. And when I ministered to him, I felt like whatever I give him, it just needs to impress him that he needs to come to the training. So I just unloaded on him. I didn't gen rev him, but I think I genned him. I genned him pretty good. I was just giving him Jacob, Joseph, the need to be priests, the need to be trained as priests to bring others into the enjoyment and the maturity of life. And eventually, you know, the fellowship was done, and then there was some more normal talk, and then it came the moment I heard him say to his parents in Spanish, he wants me to go to this training, basically. And I'm not sure exactly what his parents said, because my understanding still is not that good, but sure enough, he tells me, he says, okay, wait here, I'm just going to go get ready, and I'll go with you. Praise the Lord! Oh my goodness, that was awesome. So, anyways, the follow-up. There's saints that have given their lives to this. I feel like I'm just learning. I'm just beginning to enter into this kind of a life where there's really that detail, that intense, that personal care for people. And praise the Lord, we can do this in the body. We can do this with the other brothers and sisters who are really experienced in this way. And praise the Lord for this experience. I hope it encouraged you all.
Amen.
Speaking intense. Wow, Lord Jesus. Amen. And this is the basis of this follow-up is love. And what kind of love? Not the limited love, right? And we love with the conditional love. This is unlimited, unlimited love. And this love, dear saints, we were not born with this love. This love is simply Christ himself. So when we say, oh, Lord Jesus, in that situation, the Lord supplies us with his love to fight for others. And also, Paul, he likened himself as the nursing mother. Nursing mothers, always there's sacrifices for the sake of the child. Because the child is born of us, right? And I'm going rather quickly. D, it says, the cost of follow-up, our own soul life. Oh, there's the cost. Again, I want to impress you. Don't say, oh, what is the cost? Dear saints, when we are one with the Lord, we don't count the cost. This is new to me. I just want to share with you. In Matthew 16:4, the Lord says, 16:24, it says, if anyone wants to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I'm sure you all have this experience. You know, have you ever had time where you were at home late at night, you receive a phone call. One student or one a sister or brother wants to fellowship with you. Is that a convenience time? 11 or midnight? No. So when you answer the phone, in a sense, you are denying the self. You are denying the conveniences. And guess what? When we pay that price, quote-unquote price, and impart the life through the phone or through the face, what is the reward? Don't you, we get, it's a rewarding, right? It's a rewarding. On the one hand, there is an aspect, yes, the cost we suffer, but on the other hand, the cost, it's a rewarding. We don't sense we are suffering. It's enjoyable to be with someone that there is a need. For this, I would like to call David.
Amen. I'm David Armstrong. I'm from San Diego State University. I want to share a verse just to start this off. Galatians 2:20. I'm crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. So, yeah, I just want to share this. This is the cost of follow-up. Okay. So, when I was fresh out of high school, I was a young, wandering Navy guy, kind of just, I don't know, figuring out a life, I guess. And I met a guy in the church. He was actually, he had recently been paralyzed. He was in a car accident. A van hit him. And he was paralyzed from the waist down. His name was Tim, and he was about 20 years older than me. I met him, and you know, very quickly he was just very open. He was just the love of God was pouring out, and he opened up his home, even though he had trouble organizing it. He, you know, had trouble moving around, trouble sleeping, all this stuff because he was always, you know, he's in a wheelchair. So he opens up his home, and I'm just like eating up Jesus. I'm like just real fresh, like new to a lot of the things in the faith and just like getting into the Word and everything. And so I had all these questions and everything, and he was an amazing man of God, so I was just drinking it in. And I didn't have like much boundaries. I wasn't thinking too much about, oh, he needs to go to bed and all this kind of stuff. And so anyways, we stayed up till 2 a.m., I was asking him questions and just drinking everything in and everything. He stayed up that long just to pour into me, just to love me. Just answering questions about the Word and giving and this Christ that I was getting to know, just poured it into me. So he sacrificed, he listened to me. He just loved me. He was like a father to me. And he gave up his natural life for me. He poured Christ into me, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Then years later, I met a man who was married with kids, and this is right by San Diego State. His name was Emmanuel. He just gave you the test, by the way. He opened up his home. He had a home meeting, and he would. But he also sacrificed time and time again for me. He prayed with me, often about things I was struggling with, personal issues. I had lots of drama, but anyways. He gave me the Word, he listened to me, and he stayed many times after the home meeting that he didn't have to do. He had a wife and kids and all the stuff he has to deal with. And, you know, I wasn't trying to be a burden or anything, but, you know, fellowship's fellowship. And what can you say? I don't know. But he was, many times he would just stay up late and just, you know, he just loved me, man. And he would listen so much. And we would just sit out there. Sometimes they didn't have words to say. And we would just call on the Lord and just, you know, sometimes outside just chilling, you know, and just talking it out. But he had a balanced care of family and body life. You know, care for the family, but also care for the body. Amen. He gave up his sleep and his natural life often, very often, Amen. To pour Christ into me, Amen. Who loved me and gave himself up for me.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, in John 10:11, it says, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep.
Amen.
So this is our Lord Jesus. He is such one. And when we enjoy the Lord, when we eat the Lord, we have the capacity, we have the strength to spend our soul, to pay the cost for others. And we have also example with Paul, Apostle Paul. Of course, he and Barnabas, they went different, they made several journeys, and they raised up many churches. And even while they were raising up churches, many of the Jews, they began to persecute Paul and Barnabas. And despite of this persecution, Paul told Barnabas, let's go back. Let's go back to see how they are doing. And he did not, he didn't care about his life, about the cost. Why is that? Because all those believers in all these cities were begotten by him. So, you know, he begot those. So he was a father. That means the source of life.
Yeah.
Not only he was a father, but also he was a nursing mother. And then, excuse me. If it says, without follow-up, there will be little remaining fruit. You know, the Lord's desire, not only we bear fruit, but our fruit should remain. For the building up of the church, we need remaining fruit.
Amen.
And for this, we need to be successive generations, fruit-bearing fruit. 2 Timothy 2:2, I don't know if you notice this verse. It's interesting. It says, and the things which you have heard, who's you? That's Timothy. Heard from me. This is Paul. This is two, right?
Yeah.
Timothy, Paul, through many witnesses. You see? Another group. This commit to faithful men.
Hey.
Who will be competent to teach others also.
Amen.
So this salvation is not only for us, but we as believers, we need to pass this life to others.
Amen.
We need to pass this burden, pass this the teaching, this ministry, so that the Lord could be, our fruit will be remain. And, oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
See, of course, you know, my parents cared for me, but I got married. I have kids on my own. So my dad, he's not willing to care for my kids. He said, that's your responsibility. I can care only for you.
Yeah.
So the same way, when we preach the gospel, when someone gets saved, that's our child. That's our children.
Amen.
That's our responsibility.
Amen.
But we need to fellowship. How can I care my kid? Right? You know, until now, my dad gives me advices, you know. But directly, he will not care for my kids directly.
Right.
The same thing spiritually. We all should have many children. And if you need help, we could fellowship.
Amen.
With the saints. Okay, for this, I'll call truth. Amen.
Amen. My name is Truth. I go to Cypress College, and I would like to share what a lot of people, what many of you experienced or witnessed growing up in the church life. Growing up in the church life, I didn't really seem the Lord was real at that time, and I just felt just going to the meetings for the sake of my parents. So just going to the meetings, I was very cold towards just going to the meetings and just showing up. But, you know, it made it enjoyable because there were people that I can just go and see. And at that time, there were a lot of young people, and there were just very few trainees and serving ones. And and I was just very distant just towards the trainings and the serving ones, and it was very hard for me to show up. But amen. But I think I would have been more open if someone could showed intimate care for my need. And at that time, I was just very troubled and just lost, and I felt as if there wasn't that enough care in the church life. So my heart was very, you know, cold and just very hard, and it was just very hard at that moment to open up. So, I mean, I left the church life between junior high and early high school, and I still had the need of my questions to be answered, and didn't know how where to go with my life. And I felt as if there was no concern. But as if time went on, I just fell into the world and just pursued things in the world. But later on, there's just some drastic events that happened in my life, and which kind of changed my being. Amen. And then I just had to wrestle with the Lord. I had just personal fellowship with Him. Amen. I just had so many questions, but it just wouldn't be answered. So I was still bitter at that moment. But at that moment, when I was having personal time with the Lord, I realized that, you know, life is too short to be bitter. And, you know, just slowly just showing up to the, just going back to the church, and I just slowly started being saved. I just felt my heart was enlarging for the care for others. And then just something inspired me. I saw a brother that was from my locality. He was taking care of these young ones. And it just inspired me how he can take care of these, just at least between 5 to 7 from our locality. And this kind of, I saw his struggle, that it was very hard for him to have personal time with each and every one. So I kind of picked up the burden and just try to have just adequate time with these young ones. Amen. And I take it as if God gave me a second chance to redeem the lost time, to give back to others. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
Thanks, brother. Well, you know, so Truth and I, our testimony are somewhat intertwined, because while Truth wasn't cared for, I was a trainee with the Anaheim YP, and Truth was on my list. Truth was someone I was supposed to take care of. So were his companions. And so I just feel like, saints, I want to lay some necessity on you. Paul says, if I preach the gospel, he said, I don't boast, but necessity is laid upon me. He said, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel. He said, woe to us if we don't shepherd the saints. Woe to us if we don't pick up a burden. If our heart isn't large enough to have a necessity laid upon us. A necessity, saints. Like, are we willing? Is our heart large? Paul told the Corinthians, says, our mouth is open to you. Is it Corinthians? Our heart is enlarged. And then he said, be enlarged. Don't let your heart be small. If your heart is small, no one else can get in your heart but you. But like Truth said, his heart got enlarged. The Lord allowed something in his circumstance to enlarge his heart. We all need to open to the Lord to let him enlarge our heart. Amen. There's a lot of people on our campuses that need to get into our heart. Amen. And necessity needs to be laid upon us. People are suffering. People have wounds. Are we willing to let a name on a list get into our heart? Or is our heart too small that we can call them and say, oh, we're having a welcome dinner, but they don't get into our heart? Wow. Is our heart open? Is there room in your heart for someone else? Amen. Is there room in your heart for someone that's going to sign up in a table in 3 weeks? In 3 weeks, I think a lot of your campuses will have more than 100 names, or a few of our campuses, right? We'll probably by the end of August, there'll be 100 people on a list. Are some of those people going to get into your heart? I don't know, all right? I don't know. But I just have appreciated preparing for this message and touching the heart of some of the apostles. Their heart was so large. But anyways, we're going to talk about the practical side of following up. Okay, so let me ask you, how many of you have ever contacted someone from a list? Let me ask you another question. How many of you were ever on a list? I was on a list. And I'm so thankful that somebody followed up, right? I'm so thankful that someone followed up. They followed up with my roommate. My roommate was being followed up on, and I got the blessing. I got the church life. My life got filled with meaning because somebody followed up. Because someone full of burden followed up. Because somebody didn't follow up in a traditional or religious way, but somebody full of feeling picked me up. Amen. Somebody picked up. I got into their heart, and they bared me to this day. And so this is momentous, saints. And this fellowship is what came out of the Austin reunion, and that's with fellowship all over the country, even all over the world. That has been the learning of full-timers that are laboring on the campuses. So we're going to talk about 5 practical helps to following up. And so you can think of these are 5 kind of aspects or steps, but you need to realize that all of these steps and these practical helps are in the sphere of everything we've been touching in the gospel. Everything that we've been touching, prayer, the spirit, the word, the homes, the prayer with your companions is a sphere. And these are some very practical helps that take place in this sphere, right? It's not something separate. This was called a special fellowship, but really it's just the gospel line, which it's just message 5 of the gospel. We're going to talk about the importance of face-to-face. So Tiffany's going to help us a little bit of her personal testimony of someone that she got into to this, someone else's heart. She got into Nikki's heart. So she's going to share with us about Nikki a little bit.
Amen. Thank you for the follow-up. I can honestly testify that I would not be here without the follow-up that I received my freshman year. I met Nikki at a BFA table where they give free Bibles, and I just wanted to go up there to get a free Bible, nothing more, nothing less. And I ended up getting more and getting less. They didn't have a Bible for me there. Instead, I was given a URL to get it from online, and she ended up giving me we ended up exchanging contacts for her to read the Bible with me. And after I left the table, that was supposed to be the end. I wasn't supposed to be reading the Bible with this stranger named Nikki. It was just, I was supposed to move on with my life. And anyways, so through some divine God plan, me and my friend / roommate end up reading the Bible with her, the book of John, the whole semester. And reading the Bible with her ended up with me going to home meeting, to college meeting, to conference, and to the Lord's table. But it was such a fight. I was not very open, and I wasn't I was really apprehensive about it. I didn't know this lady, or this wasn't, everything about it wasn't my life that was going on. And so, through her really taking care of me, shepherding, contacting me constantly, you couldn't really make an excuse with her because she had everything planned out. She knew where I lived. She took me she took me to, she took me from, she fed me. That was it was just no way. She knew my roommate, so if she didn't get through me, she got through her. It was just crazy, but I really appreciated that she had the heart for me, that she took care of me, that because I just know that I wouldn't know what enjoying the Lord is, or that you can eat the Lord or anything about it. I was so small in my Christian life at the time that I met her, and she just really opened up the word to me, really took care of me, and yeah. Amen.
Let me ask you a question, Tiffany. Were you sad when you found out that Nikki was going to go serve in Turkey?
Oh, yeah. She done left me, went to Turkey. I was supposed to say that. Yeah, she left me, went to Turkey. And, it's crazy because she got me contacted with other saints, so that's why I'm even still able to come, because they shepherded me and they cared for me. And, you know, I realized that this is just like a normal thing that y'all do. I mean, because it's just really unnormal if you come from like the world or whatever for someone to like really care for you. And, you know, I was already technically saved because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me. But she really cared about my spiritual growth in life. Yeah, and so when she left, I was super sad. Yeah. But we still keep in contact, amen. And, you know, I'm still in the church life.
Amen. So this matter of face-to-face is crucial. We have to get face-to-face with people. So as we're contacting people, just nothing will replace your face. No text, no call, nothing can replace face-to-face contact. Let me, you know, the reason why I asked Tiffany that question is when Paul was going to Jerusalem with the view of his martyrdom, he met with some that he was caring for. They met and he told them, you're no longer going to see my face. And they wept. And they wept. It said in Acts 20:39, it says, they were pained at this word that they would no longer see his face. You would think they would say, man, we're not going to hear his speaking. We're not going to get his messages. No, they missed his face. They missed his face. They said, I'm not going to see this one who's poured out for me. I want to see his face. How will I go on without seeing this one's face? Face to face. The Apostle John, when he was elderly, and he was maybe the only person on the earth who had a clear view of God's economy. And you know what he was desperate to do? He said, that I'm longing to see you face to face. This was the elderly apostle's care, the person who had the highest spiritual attainment on the earth, and his concern. I need to get face to face time with these believers. This is significant, saints. You get face-to-face time with an incoming freshman, it's significant. You get on, they get on your heart, they become beloved to you, and you become beloved to them. So this is crucial. The first step of follow-up, face-to-face. The second step is entering into people's situations. And so, we need to get into people's situations, right? We need to get interested in what they're interested in. We need to get connected to people. They need to realize that we're not shepherding, we're not following up in a mechanical way. There's not a program. We're not going to give you a sheet of paper that says, do this, 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 and this, and this, and the end result, they'll be in the church life. No, there's no program. You have to enter into their situation. Every person is unique. Every case is unique. Every case needs you to be in intimate contact with the Lord and with your companions. You need to be fellowshipping and praying. There's no other way. We're not presenting a method in reality. We're just imparting the burden. How about Crystal, you can share with us about this matter. Very good testimony.
Hello, so I'm Crystal, and I'm from UBC in Canada. So I'm going to talk about my experience with having appointments with someone who's from the same year as me. So I met Victoria around, I think, January or December. And she was just newly saved from a sister who had the same class as her. So this sister, she asked me to join their appointments. And I was really excited at first, but I also felt like I didn't have anything to minister to her. But either way, I just joined their appointments. And one of the things I knew I could do was at least cherish her. And so I found out that she likes skating, and like I can skate, so we went skating together. And then for our appointments, we had it once a week for about 1 to 2 hours a day on campus. And we were reading John. And then we got into Genesis because she decided she wanted to go to summer training. During our appointments as well, after our reading, we would have prayer time. So we would pray about like whatever burdens we had. And it could have been just about midterms or finals, but something else that we also prayed for was that she had a physics professor in China, because she's an international student. So she had a professor she was really close to, and he actually talked about Christianity with her a lot. And then when he heard that she was baptized, he decided he wanted to come all the way to Vancouver to get baptized for some reason. So we did pray for him, and he actually did he went to the church in Vancouver and got baptized and then went back. And then another thing we prayed for, she had a real burden for her family, for her parents. And her parents were living in China, but her mom came 2 months ago to just stay with her and have some fun here. And then so she had a real burden for them. So during that time, we also prayed for her mom that she would be open to receive the Lord. And when she came, there were some community saints that also brought her to the home meeting, and she was saved. Amen. Praise the Lord. She received the Lord. And as well as we're still praying for her father who just came, I think a couple of weeks ago. So I couldn't really believe it because this all happened within a year. Mm-hmm. That she was saved. Her mom is received the Lord. Her professor was baptized. And her dad's a work in progress. So praise the Lord. The Lord, he can really work through our praying together with these new ones.
Crystal, real quick. How did your feeling change towards Victoria as you were praying and things were starting to happen?
I didn't really notice how unbelievable it was until I was preparing for this. So I was like, praise the Lord. Amen. The Lord can really work.
Amen.
Well, saints, this is so key. You know, what about we contact people? They have burdens on their heart. You know, you get together, maybe your idea is, let's get into the morning revival. That'll be good. We'll teach them how to pray read. But there's something on their heart that's just, it's just there, and they can't think about anything else until they can pray for their professor, their mom. There's something in their heart. I forgot. Some brother shared something from Austin, but there was something, it seems kind of trivial, you know. It's like sometimes someone has something kind of off the wall, but until they can get released from that, they just can't see anything else. You need to help people be freed, right? One of the verses that wasn't a memory verse, but in Luke 4:18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, right? To proclaim, eventually release of captives. Some people are captive. You need to pray them into release. Amen. You need to help pray for what's on their heart. So our heart has to be large, right? We need to not only bear them, we need to bear their burdens. You see the verse in Galatians 6:2 says, bearing one another, right? This is really a matter of our heart. We can bear the burdens of these ones that we contact. People are full of burdens. There's so many things pressing on people. We need to help people get released.
Amen.
So, okay, sorry. Back to our steps, all right? So entering into people's situations, okay? Let's say entering in, okay? So now this third step is, we'll just call it regular, okay? We need to have regular time with people, okay? This ministry portion said we need to be like glue, right? When you get those names, you got to get stuck to them, okay? You with your companions, these ones, you just stick yourself to them. Whatever you do, just invite them to go. Just be normal. Just enter in and bring them along. Just get stuck. Go to their, you know, like Nikki, go to where they live. Whatever you have to do, text and call, whatever, get stuck to them. What's the name of the Kingswell, right? You got to be glue, Kingswell. Not Elmer's, Kingswell. Hey, me, glue. You be glued to someone, right? That they would enjoy Christ. Okay, so, and then, you know, Rachel and the ones that were serving at, SDSU, they were like glue. So she's going to share a little bit how they got like glue. They got stuck to some, so.
Hallelujah. Amen. The Lord is the real glue. So my name is Rachel, and I currently serve in San Diego. And at SDSU, there were a few students and full-timers who were desperate to bear fruit for the Lord's move. This desperate heart and prayer opened the door for the Lord to move in a way that we never thought possible. It started with the college training. Some of the students went. It was on the Lord's coming, and so they got burdened, and they were on fire. So we tried to have a table during orientation. We actually got kicked out. But that didn't stop us. We came back when the semester began. We had an official table. And it was during that time that we received about 70 contacts, which just amazed us. And so we began to text them and call them right away. And through the close coordination and prayer with the students, we kept contacting them. And even, like, when some wouldn't respond to me, I would, you know, text the other student and tell her, you know, try to call this one, you know. And so it was just, we just kept in coordination, and it really helped because some weren't open to one of us but actually was open to the other one. And so it was just really sweet. And so, Lord Jesus. One student later told us that she really wasn't too interested, but, you know, we just kept contacting her. So she was like, okay. And then we, so practically we asked them, we first asked them about a Bible reading challenge, which kind of started over the summer. And through that, we put together a GroupMe text group, which really helped. And a lot of the ones that ended up in the GroupMe text group actually weren't even in the Bible reading challenge. So it just ended up being a way for us to share our enjoyment of the Lord throughout the semester and just keep connected with each other. And so then we had, the beginning of the semester, we had a welcome dinner on Friday, and that was a really sweet time. And although the students really wanted a lot of these 70 ones to come, really only 8 of them showed up. But we just labored on these 8. And so it was, oh, Lord Jesus. Then the very next day, we had a Freshman Connect bonfire, and this was just a really sweet time with testimonies. And so it was just really good to have one thing and then another thing and another thing so that they just could keep connected. It was just, you know, just their schedule didn't make a difference because there was always something, you know. And so, oh, Lord Jesus, where did I go? Oh, Lord. So yeah, we just kept bugging them and asking them to come to our Bible studies on campus, which were regular. They were every week, and also the home meetings. And so this was really sweet. You know, the saints opened their homes and just cared for these ones. And so it was through these, you know, regular times that they kept connected with us. You know, sometimes they couldn't go all the time, but they would eventually come back. So it was really sweet. And so due to the regular care, continued care, we have 5 solid new ones, and also others that meet spontaneously. And 4 of these ones went to one of our local college conferences. And in the spring, even one of these helped us by sitting at the table to contact the ones that are coming in this year. So praise the Lord for his fervent care for these ones.
Amen. Yeah, if we could all get 5 out of 8. We'd be doing extremely well. I think the Lord's recovery would be very, very fruitful. So yeah, so we need to have this kind of view, just get stuck to these ones. And so now this second to last point is that we need to shepherd people according, I'm just going to write one word, need. We need to shepherd people according to their need. So that, you know, the brother in Austin, he mentioned, you know, maybe we get together with someone, maybe Salem, you can stand up here, sorry. So Salem, he's bleeding out of this elbow. He's just gushing blood. And so, and here I am, Salem, don't you want to get into the Gospel of John? And so he's losing blood, and I'm like, oh, isn't this so good, brother? Have you ever seen this? And he's dying. He's got a need, and here I am with my agenda. Brother, you got to see what's in John. What's wrong over there? You know, it's like, we just, all right, sit down, brother. So you see the point that people have, you know, they need the Good Samaritan to pour in oil and wine. They have wounds. Yeah. And how are we going to find out what people's wounds are? How? Listen. You have to ask them questions, and you have to listen. The first characteristic of the Lord's worker is a good listener, right? So you need to listen what people say, what they don't say, right? What they don't say. Sometimes they're not saying means a lot. So we have to learn how to listen, and then what do? We fellowship. We fellowship with our companions. You know, Phil and I were fellowshipping about Ivan. The fellowship went on for more than an hour, right? We just realized it's so intricate to care for one person. So that we need to fellowship with one another. We listen, and then do you know what so-and-so said? I don't know how to care for him. You know, we just start to fellowship and pray, right? And fellowship and prayer always go together. So when we listen, we can know how to shepherd people according to their need. And now, in this matter, I skipped this point, but there's a ministry portion here that talks about how the Lord entered into this man's situation by the well. He was laying at the well. If the Lord had come up to him and said, excuse me, do you read your Bible? The man would have said, get away from me, right? But the Lord, he said, do you want to be well? And the man was very, very interested in that. He touched him right away. He entered into his need. And so the need was to be well, and the Lord just touched it right away. So you see this ministry quote that's kind of 1/3 of the way from the bottom. It starts, the Lord became a man under John 4:7. Circle the phrase, look to the Lord, right? Because this one who knows how to meet each man's need, knows how to meet every case, is in your spirit, right? And he is ready and willing to take care of anybody you contact. So we need to look to the Lord that we would have this kind of care, that we wouldn't care for people according to any kind of tradition, any kind of, you know, this is the way we always contact people, any kind of form, but we would look to the Lord how to enter into their situation. Amen. So this is really a wonderful, you know, you look at the example of the Lord and it's so good. But how about let's read that verse, Ephesians 4:29, and look for the key phrase according to this. All right, let's read it together. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, according to the need, that it may give grace to those who hear. Amen. According to the need. So we need to know people's need. Everybody on that's going to be on that list has a need. And so we need to find out what that need is according to our fellowship, our time with the Lord. And we need to look to the Lord how to meet that need. And so, okay, just the last point I won't even say anything about it, is this matter of prioritizing people. Just say just a little bit because we got to finish up here. I think I'm going to misspell this. You all know what it is. Humanity of Jesus. Amen. Oh, Lord. Amen. So anyways, we all have finite resources, and we're going to meet a lot of people, right? I think, you know, by a year's time, how many people will we have contacted and met this amount of people? So many people. So we all have limited resources. You all are students. Some of us have families. We are limited. We're limited in time. And we have to consider with our companions and with prayer, who's the best one to spend our time, to impart our soul? Because we can't care for many people like this. I mean, really, as students, you can only care for one or two. Really, that's this fellowship boils down to one or two, right? But maybe if you're in a group, you have some synergy. You could care for a few more. Maybe two could care for five. I'm not sure. But the point is that we need to consider who are the best ones to labor on. So may the Lord make us very fruitful.